Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, I realized last time I did the Spencer dance wrong. From Uptown Burbank, Harmontown is now in session. Somebody make a meme out of that shit. You know, Spencer, where'd you go? Let's bring up our game master, Spencer Crittenden, with his bag of holding. What you got in that bag?
Books, books, books and dice. Gonna play D&D, gonna go real nice. That's all.
What you got in that sack?
Just some games and a shit to get back on
track. Is it true that you're going to roll some dice?
It's true, man. As true as that I got head lice. That's a parasite on your head.
You should see a doctor. Let's bring up your mayor, Dan Harmon.
Yo, 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 yo. The beat rolls through me. I'm an artist. I'm a poet. I fucked your mama and she didn't even know it. I'm a stealth fucker. I roll in, I got bad luck or something. When I go in, I got a tiny little wiener, so she didn't know. It's like a cave, hear me blow. Yo, echo. It's not your mama's pussy that's the problem. Boy, oh boy, you guys threw me. That sounded accusatory. That sounded blameful and shameful. I'm just saying. But rap is more tameful than it would have been if I hadn't been overshadowed by professional rappers, Rachel Maddow.
Yo! Rachel, do a rap as Rachel Maddow.
All right.
Yo! 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 I got a long neck and my head's in the stars! Rachel Maddow coming at you tonight. I got some left-leaning news to make you feel all right. In spite of Nazis taking over the USA. I'm popular, not because I'm gay. It's just the reason you can trust me. Don't fuck with me. I got a really long neck. So I can see better than you. What's going on? Rachel Maddow. I haven't watched her in a while.
Wait. Okay. Kill Zach. McKeever.
Did I just out Rachel Maddow?
Well, you certainly outed her as having a long neck.
No, people know that. And she celebrates it, I think, with her. If you are ashamed of your very long neck, you would not wear what Rachel Maddow wears. This is not me objectifying her.
I think you're certainly neck shaming.
I think he's neck celebrating.
I'm neck. I believe she is. I'm neck celebrating. Now we've learned from our. Well, the next thing that happens is that Rachel is doing an AMA, and somebody says Dan Harmon says you have a shamefully long neck, and that you dress
and
like
you
know
be
it.
Ashamed.
What are your comments on that? And then we're beefing. Oh well, now we're beefing.
Beefing with Maddow.
Beefing with
now we're in a Reservoir Dogs crossfire with Ron Jeremy and Rachel Maddow. Anyways, that's the danger of opening your show with rapping. But I've found that opening the show with a little freestyle gets my energy up.
Yeah. Whereas it's a classic improv.
It would be
warm-up.
The sound of like thunderous applause.
Do you have a burp in the chamber right now, Dan? Can you do a word burp?
Yes.
Well, there it goes.
Because Church and I do a lot of word burping, and we try to get Steve Agee to do a thing where he just burps words, and it's hard to do like multi-syllabic word burps. And one burp, I want if you can pull this off, you'll be my hero. If you can word burp White House aides.
I have to swallow air.
White House aides.
AIDS had a little bit of vomit drop coming up on it. Yeah.
Just once,
I haven't done that in a while.
Just once can someone burp women's rights. For God's sake.
Try to burp women's rights.
Well, how have you guys been? We had a Thanksgiving weekend. What did you guys do? Let's start with Spencer.
I went to Dino's. Yeah, it was good. I wanted to like make a recipe to bring there, but then I decided to just bring Coke. Not like the drug, like the drink. And it went over really well. People were like, man, I love this party, but the only thing to drink is hard liquor and wine. And then I was like, I got you. And then people were digging it. And I was like, yeah, this was the right move. He made a lot of good food. It was good. It was there wasn't a lot of crazy people there, which there are occasionally. So it was a real fun time.
What do you feel about his garlic levels as a chef?
They're high, but that's what I like. I'd say the garlic levels in the Thanksgiving dinner were lower than normal. There's usually, Dino usually makes like Greek food to go with like the Thanksgiving food. So like he'll make a turkey and then he'll make like some crazy beef stew stuff. And, he didn't really have any of that. It was just traditional Thanksgiving stuff, which I was thankful for. I mean, I like Greek food, but Thanksgiving. Yeah.
Jeffrey?
Yeah. Let's go to you.
Oh, me. Yeah. Well, I went to Florida with Cody and visited with my parents, which is I haven't been down to Florida in a long time to visit the parents. And our main activity was balderdash, which is like my family is like we walk a razor's edge as a tribe. Like we don't have unconditional love. Like love is. In the Harmon family, it's a loose-knit alliance of nefarious bounty hunters who are all just trying to make sure that that the galaxy doesn't get plunged into war. But it's and so if you break out Monopoly or Trivial Pursuit, you could be asking for trouble.
How big was the squad? It was you and Cody
just
the parents?
Four of us.
Really?
But balderdash, I've found for my family, is this just amazing. It's every man for himself. No, you know, that's an outdated expression. Sorry, two of them were women that were out for themselves. Ladies, be out for yourselves. Thank God they finally got that message from someone they could trust. But balderdash is like there's no teams, and there's also. Any time pressure is self-imposed. We decided after a while, let's take no longer than 2 minutes to write an answer.
Refresh my memory. Balderdash is what you lie about a thing. You have to figure out who's telling the truth.
Do they give you one real definition, or you gotta? There's a word, and you have to guess the definition.
Well, I think I can just knowing what Jeff knows. I think I can explain it fast to him by saying it's basically the Leonard Maltin movie guide game.
Right.
But there's five more categories than movies.
Right.
And you can just. The way we play it, you can just pick movie.
So it could
time.
Be a definition of a word. Or...
Right. So there's acronyms. So it'll just be a jumble of letters. That's my least favorite one because I feel like I'm doing homework. Like I just feel like I'm not, you know, it's not about creativity. It's just like IHC. And then the people just write International Housing Committee.
I hate...
Carp. The cool thing, the genius of Balderdash, as far as the actual publishers of the game, what they really did right, in my opinion, is they clearly there's real answers. There's one real answer on the IHC does stand for something in the real world out there somewhere. But also there's all these movies that no one's ever seen. So the title. Will be like blue marble babies, and like there's some movie out there called Blue Marble Babies. You don't know if it's like Dollywood or Bollywood.
Or Dollywood.
Dollywood could, but maybe, I think they've started to greenlight more projects this fiscal quarter. We're pulling for Dollywood. I don't know if they're going to catch up to Bollywood, but you don't know where it's from. You just know that there is a movie out there called The Blue Marble Babies. The genius of the Balderdash publishers is that whoever they had write the real answer, which might be it's a log line for the movie Blue Marble Babies, and they have the people that write them. They write them in kind of a fuck.
Fucking Shrap. Shrap. Rob Shrap is here.
Yeah, I let him in.
Hello, Rob.
Hello.
Happy Thanksgiving, Rob.
Thank you.
There's no camera over here, right? There's no
church. Is there a way?
Can we? No, there's not. You don't want to disrupt. There's no. This isn't about you.
Jeff, I was trying. I couldn't find it anywhere. I was looking though. Maybe you will have better luck.
We were trying to find the Balderdash game so we could play it live on stage.
I thought it was something that we could do a round tonight to test it, but I really actually think that'd be really fun. I think that Benson basically plays the Leonard Maltin movie game on his movie podcast.
Getting Doug. Nope.
No,
Doug,
he plays it on
Doug Loves Movies.
Doug, okay.
Sorry, I got it mixed up.
Doesn't matter. It's a different podcast network. We don't care if they live or die. And to tell you the truth, if it was a choice between them dying and us saving some bread for, I don't know, Cameron Esposito or one of our tribe, like, what are we supposed to do?
The Doughboys.
You know? It's kill or be killed in the podcast wars.
Yeah.
Valuable Warby Parker dollars are being battled over.
So, Dan, so it was you, Cody, your mom and your dad stuck in the confines of Florida.
Yeah.
And how'd it go?
It was great. It was really great. And my parents have a little tiny electric boat that they live in a neighborhood of...
Wait, they have an electric boat?
Yeah, my parents moved, or Wisconsinites that moved to Florida. That's the dream of every Wisconsinite. You don't go to California because California has drugs, foreign people, and is going to fall into the sea.
That's
so
what
you go to Florida.
For, yeah.
A drug-free, all-American, totally globally shielded, absolutely no natural disasters imminent. But it's all about boat culture there. My parents moved into a little neighborhood that's kind of, you know, upper-middle-class retirement suburb with, although I don't know if that's true anymore, so save your flame wars. When you fact check this, but there's like canals, there's neighborhoods of Florida where everyone has a canal in their backyard instead of like an alley, where you'd have like an alley because you're a dirty, urban, horrible breakdancer. You have streets.
I've been accused of that before.
And then the non-address facing conduit is an alley.
Only
instead of crack pipes, there's manatee.
How do we play Balderdash live right now?
We would have to find a Balderdash,
a set of cards, probably.
Like just any card from any Balderdash, or just like a movie title.
If you at home have one, take a picture of it and send it to the Harmontown Twitter.
We can play it. We'll play it with our guest when he's like yeah. we can try to figure it out. Let's make an action item. Okay, if somebody out there. In our crowdsourcing community, can isolate, let's say, a Balderdash card so that we can see a question side and an answer side for
but
it.
Only we can see it, but the crowd can't see it?
No, the crowd can see it.
Oh.
We won't be able to see it.
I gotcha.
So if someone, I would say, let's just make that an action item, and then maybe our crew can, if somebody, like... Because otherwise I'll just be talking about it all night.
Well, okay, let's put that out into the ether, but how did you get along with your mom and dad? How did that all go down?
Was it healing?
I wouldn't say it was healing, but I would say it was triumphant. We didn't really fight that much. Like, I had one flare-up with my mom at a restaurant dinner, and then I steamed and, you know, stewed, and, like, I didn't... We kind of... That night got lost. Like, we didn't... We, like, went to dinner, and then following that dinner, I went back to the hotel and I just kind of fumed into a drink at the hotel bar and had Cody, you know, there as my partner, but like she wasn't like taking sides or anything. It was just like I needed space, I needed time. And then the next morning it was fine. You know, who wants to keep fighting? Nobody does.
Did Cody enjoy your parents? Like,
yeah, she loves them, and vice versa. She thinks they're great. She comes from a family where it's like Cody has a childhood memory of that her this thing that her mom would do regularly. When Cody would take a bath, her mom, Randy Heller, Mama LaRusso from The Karate Kid, says not why she's a valuable mother at all.
But
it arguably gets in the way of unconditional love to have a professional actor as a mother.
It doesn't hurt to know that your mom was in Karate Kid.
It doesn't hurt me. I mean, I have become functionally a step Karate Kid. You don't make no mistake about it. This is part of the package
step
for me.
Karate Kid.
I didn't learn unconditional love. I'm motivated by other things. I love Cody. Part of what I love about Cody is that I get to be a step Karate Kid. Anyways, but no,
also, she was also Rizzo on Broadway in Greece, wasn't she?
Yeah, she was also. I didn't. She was. Most people recognize her on the street when that happens as her character that she played in Mad Men. She was Don Draper's secretary for a season.
Shit.
This show isn't about fucking Randy Heller, all right?
It could be.
She's got enough attention. She was also a loving mother. And what she would do, like, Cody has this, like, it's not even a story. It's not an anecdote. It's a tradition that her mom had with Cody. Cody would take a bath. And then after the bath was done, Cody would get out of the bath. Her mom would wrap her up in a big towel and then wrap her up in a big blanket, like a comforter. And then her mom would start dragging her around the house, inside the comforter, saying, "I got a wild fish here. I got a wild fish." And she would do this elaborate like radio play for baby Cody, who was like just cocooned in this comforter, being dragged around hardwood floors around an apartment, and while her mom pretended that she was passing various checkpoints and lying about whether she had a wild fish with her. So she would do different voices. No, sir, I don't have any wildlife or agriculture in my comforter. I just a bag. And like trying to keep her quiet, keep her from giggling. This isn't about, let's bag on the Harmons. This is about contrast. My memories are the water would get cold after a while and I would find my way out. And go rolling pine needles. All right. there are important.
Till what age did
I stop bathing?
No.
I don't know. When was my first bath?
Till what age did Cody's mom do the wild fish thing?
Like 15.
Like, 27, yeah. We did it together. She handed it, was like a passing of the baton. I don't know. I don't know that answer.
You and your mom and your dad didn't have any kind of heritage like that? Like, you didn't have special little fun games?
I can't. Rob Schraub just yelled out Ticky, which was a nickname that I had.
Ticky?
Yeah. I don't know.
Why Ticky?
It was a favorite childhood story of mine, Ticky Ticky Timbo.
Oh, man.
God damn it.
We heard about that on Whiting Wong's, the Thanksgiving special.
Oh, yeah.
Which you can check out on iTunes.
Yeah.
I feel like we should bring Rob Schraub up on stage right now.
Well, we also have an important guest. It's been a long time coming because remember, since the election, my goal has been to, because I don't know what I'm doing, and I have a forum. And I immediately had reactions that were both predictable, unhelpful, and ultimately unguiding. I got mad at everybody and bought a gun and have since basically been trying to focus on quitting all my jobs and building a bat cave with a crossbow aimed at the door. But I in the meantime, I've wanted to use my platform, if I could, to like signal boost the whole spectrum. You know, the only thing step I've taken was we flew Gotham Girl out from New York, and she, I think, I don't know if she would want to be called I don't know what label she'd want to be called. She calls herself an Eleanor Democrat in her bio. She talked about, you know, as a, you know, it's important. It was important to hear from an intelligent person's perspective, like, basically, don't give up on what we would call the old Democratic Party. You know, let's hack it the way that the Nazis have hacked the right wing, the Republican Party. I mean, they infiltrated it, took it over, and now the word Republican means I want to win. It didn't mean much before that, but it's like, and I think the idea is like, come on, we can make the we can still use this shell of a Democratic Party, hack it, drive it from the inside, because it has the numbers and the systemic advantage that it can, it's the only thing that can rock 'em, sock 'em, that robot. So now let's hear, maybe I would assume maybe another perspective, but I want to definitely be clear that this, we wanted to have somebody from the DSA on, the Democratic Socialists of America, and but this is a guy who's a member of them. He's not he doesn't represent them as a leader or anything. He's not a spokesman. We'll talk about how he resigned from his position as an official spokesman because of a little cultural gridlock, comedic cultural gridlock that happened where he did the smart thing and like backed out as being a representative. So, but what he is a guy who understands that perspective, which I think is different from the other one that we've gotten.
And we tried to get an official spokesperson officially sanctioned by a local chapter of the DSA. And we tried for multiple months, I want to say 4 or 5 in total. And then we took matters into our own hands and just were like, hey, this guy, I think he knows something. Let's get him.
Like the socialist activists that we are. We took matters in our own hands. But I don't know whose fault that is.
Their fault. And if they want to be taken seriously as a political group, they should get on their shit.
Do we know for sure that Levy isn't
secretly...
I'm going
to take that stand. I'll take that stand, and I'll take the stand that Steve has been cock-blocking them from day one as the alt-right subversive insurgent. That he is.
Okay, good. Well, let's bring up our new friend Josh Androsky.
Oh yeah, he's got two cans.
Hi,
hello, Josh.
How are you?
How are you?
Good to see you.
Good to see you. Well,
now I feel bad. I didn't shake Spencer.
You got some lacrosse there.
Nice to meet you.
Yeah.
You came up double fisting some lacrosse.
I quit drinking, and I know this podcast well enough to know that there would be no non-alcoholic beverages.
Right, so, just like Dino's party.
It's taking matters into your own hands.
Spencer did the, I don't know if he did it out of fashion or climate control, but you walked in and... You were wearing the same shirt.
Socialists prove that white people do have culture. You know,
I thought you were just going to say socialists dress like Spencer.
Yeah, no, we do. We all
That's the subtext.
People can Google and they can Wikipedia and stuff. I Wikipedia'd and Googled for the 11-minute drive from Las Feliz to Burbank. Here's what you can learn by reading and scrolling. The DSA was once a part of the IS, the International Socialist, or Socialist International, SI, Sports Illustrated.
If they were playing Sports Illustrated. Our swimsuit issue was like really revolutionary. We had one swimsuit for all the models. Yes,
it was Betty Friedan wearing a burqa.
Yeah, it was...
they're all wearing gas masks.
It was Frida Kahlo designed it. It was incredible.
But there was a split in 82, what we now call the DSA, like, voted to extricate themselves from the larger global socialists.
So basically, none of that shit matters at all. The history, and what I mean to say is, I don't know. Because the DSA fundamentally transformed during the last election.
Right. It's right. Now what it is. But it's important to note, for instance, that it's not a political party, right?
No.
You don't have a candidate.
Right. So we're not a political party in the sense that we're not going to fall. And hopefully this is what people have worked towards. And my friends and myself have worked towards. We don't want to fall into the trapping of the Green Party, where you just every 4 years trot out somebody that is like whatever, just a person, good or bad. And then it's like every 4 years you're like, hey, let's change everything from the president down because nobody knows who the fuck we are.
Exactly. And so, well, also it just falls apart. Like right. You just can't. If we have a problem with the way the system has been run, part of the problem is that there's just some knucklehead who supposedly is supposed to not offend everybody
right.
every minute of every day.
And supposedly that there's, you know, that the president, I think Donald Trump has proven more than anything that the president doesn't really do that much.
Right.
That the president is more of a figurehead right now. And
he
has
certainly
become,
can't. What we do know about that office is that you can't blow up the world from it within less than a year.
Right, which like
makes it relatively less powerful than, let's say, the head of Al Qaeda.
Yeah, or a general, right. You know, like an unelected person in our government. And so what we have done as far as like the idea of like, are we a political party or not? In local elections, that's where we're focusing. We truly think you were talking about how it's like the big robot fight, like the Pacific Rim between the Democrats and the Republicans or whatever. We're the little land speeders tying their legs together, right, you right. know, like if.
Snow.
Yes.
This is Rob Schraub.
Snow speeder. We're the little snow speeders. Fuck. I
oh,
ruined
point,
it.
Rob.
Nobody likes a DSA anymore because yeah. I fucked up the Star Wars reference. This is bad. So
no, I don't think that's what. He said land speeders, and you're correcting him. Wow,
he's right.
I'm catching up. Yeah. Jesus Christ, Schraub, by the way, is that little black box that Chewbacca scared on the Death Star? Only there's no Chewbaccas here.
They make the whole Death Star out of the.
What
black
was the
box?
Name of that droid? What was the name of that little droid?
I'm guessing you're asking because you know.
I don't know. Right?
Oh.
Oh, wow.
It's 420-69.
Fucking never forget.
Never forget.
All right. 69. But that's important to know because right away to me, it's like, because you backed. I'm saying you like you're this whole group, but you pick a candidate in these big fights.
Sure. Well, traditionally, no. But in this last election, yes, with Bernie, because Bernie was the only candidate that was left of sort of the centrist opinion who actually had a shot.
Mm-hmm.
And so I wasn't with them during that period, but I know that they were like, hey, let's back Bernie. But for me, and like the way that I got into the DSA is I was sick and tired. I was always the guy when like the bad shit would happen that I would be the first guy out to protest. I would be the first person out to do a benefit show about the bad thing. And I was sick and tired of reacting to all the bad shit. And I was like, well, how do you stop the bad shit from happening? And I thought, I'm one guy. I'm not a billionaire. And, you know, I'm not like Timothy Comcast with access to all the resources in the world.
That little prick.
Yeah, fucking Timothy Comcast.
Has not earned his position as CEO of Comcast at all.
Obviously
clearly
nepotism. Clearly.
I mean, yeah. There's no way that's a coincidence.
No. No. And I know he says he spells it with a K, but we all know he's fucking joking. He looks just like his dad.
But, he's got the antenna and the blinking light on his forehead.
Yeah. So I saw that the DSA was doing stuff locally. And the idea that we all fight in all these similar battles. You know, everybody's fighting for better housing, for better medicine, to treat oppressed groups like human beings. Like, we all have these fights locally within our own communities. And so if every city bands together and makes, you know, topples their local Trump, then that will lead to a domino effect because there's Trumps everywhere. And oftentimes they're way funnier and crazier than the actual Trump because they don't think anyone's looking at them.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's all about.
It's like probably local wrestling franchises are like way more crazy than
right.
WCW or whatever.
Yeah, like the ECW where it's they like, were just.
Is that guy really staring to the sun, man?
Yeah. Is that guy a dancing queen? Is the ABBA themed wrestler?
The outlet forker. This seems irresponsible, but that's District 12.
Watch out for running with scissors, man. He's in.
Hey, kids, when you're out there, grab those scissors. Left-handed, right-handed, run with them. You got to run free. Don't let people make you walk with scissors. You got to stare in the sun. You got to put those scissors in an outlet. Hoo-ah! And his catchphrase is hoo-ah?
That's actually his entire catchphrase. He says that every time.
Well, he's army.
He's sent of a woman to derivative.
It is Pacino. That's Pacino's latest role as Running with Scissors. Man, he has just become a caricature of himself.
Diggity dog. Hey, who am I? I don't know. I just wanted
Diggity dog?
Yeah, I don't know.
Did he say that in Dog Day Afternoon?
Yeah, probably. Diggity dog. I want my ransom. I want my trans lover. I want to talk to a negotiator. Diggity dog. That's dog day. We got a dog day here.
Ha-cha-cha-cha. Dog bully.
I told you about the time I peed next to him at the restaurant, and he had headphones, and he was, like, I think learning lines. I'm peeing next to Pacino. He's like,
as it's coming out, is that the reaction to the? Was it a good pee?
I think he was learning lines. He had little earbuds and he.
This is part of what the explanation for what Pacino became as an icon. Like, it's that he started running lines at the urinal, so he's suffering from piss shiver while he's, like, committing these lines. Like, he,
you know, it's funny you mentioned that, Dan. Tonight's show has been brought to you by Piss Shiver.
Piss Shiver. Is your body filled with the warmth of body temperature urine in its bladder? As it rapidly exits, don't just shiver. Piss Shiver. When you're at the urinal and can't explain why you're suddenly shuddering.
Hey, look down here. It's me. Your dick. I sure been shivering a lot while I've been pissing.
You know, I ain't just an enlarged form of clitoris that was mutated when your species decided to become sexually reproductive instead of asexual. Thank you, ladies.
Is there a way to reverse angle on Rob Schraub with his feet on the stage? He's so clearly...
You look like you're about to rap battle at an office.
Why don't we bring him up now that we're comfortable and you're not...
Do we have enough mics? It doesn't look like there's...
Oh, we got mics.
Oh, I didn't see that one. Sorry, everybody.
Rob Schraub to the stage.
We can't control you, you can't control us.
Lethargically lifting himself from the seat.
Now
he
it's going to be.
He sits and pulls his legs up on the stage.
Yeah!
Sauntering to the chair, he gestures lazily at the microphone and cup.
Hello.
He stands.
Hi, Hello. Rob. How's
Hi.
It going?
Hello.
How are you?
I'm okay.
What have you been up to, Rob? How was your Thanksgiving?
It was good. I went to Topanga and spent it with Kate's parents.
Yeah?
And family.
Do they enjoy you? Do
I think so.
Do they like their Rob Schraubs?
I think so. I was cutting it up during dinner.
Do you remember any bon mots that you fucking threw out?
Bone Maz.
Top three Bone Maz.
Bone Mo. Bone Mo.
Number one.
Bone Maz.
Number three.
Bone Mo.
I don't know what that word is.
Bone
Mo.
Bone
Mo.
Any zinger.
I still don't know. No matter how you pronounce it.
Any fun little, like, you know, little sugar-coated fucking zingers.
I don't really remember. It was just a lot of just me being an idiot. I don't really have any.
What's your secret, Rob? When you go into a room...
I just say things. That's my...
When you're in a room full of strangers, if you could give people out there any advice, what would be your advice to somebody going into a room full of strangers and how to win them over?
Oh, God, I don't know.
In like a social or a professional setting?
Yeah, either. Let's just say at a social setting, like Thanksgiving.
I don't know how I would... I don't think I've ever won anybody over.
Well, take some time with that question, and then the format of the show will swivel back over to talking about the DSA, and then when we come back to Schraub, we're going to learn his secret for when he enters a room.
We're going to find out your secret.
Monetize it, dude.
Just think about it for...
Monetize
He doesn't
what?
Have to monetize it. He just has
I
to...
I don't
wait.
Know what you...
Just like, think about it for 5 minutes. I'm going to talk to Josh Andrasky from the DSA.
And then Hello. You think about your secret, Rob. Your secret.
It's not. I'm not making the mistake that anybody wants to listen to me be a fake interviewer for or know about. I'm saying, like, let's blend this. This is good. It's like parfait. So just think about the answer to that question. What's your secret, Josh? We can't really talk about the Democratic Party or the remnants thereof without talking about this new word that I learned: neoliberalism.
Ah, yes. Neoliberalism. Neoliberalism is basically socially liberal, but not, but like fiscally conservative. And as somebody
corporately friendly,
generally corporate,
right? And I forget who tweeted this. It's one of my favorite tweets. It was, "I'm socially liberal but fiscally conservative. I hate the problems, but I love their causes." and that's really what it is. It's like, and somebody else tweeted like the platonic ideal of neoliberalism is to have racial and gender balance on the board of a drone company.
Right.
You know, it's like this hollow identity politics, something like Los Angeles' district attorney is a woman of color, right? And you think that's a victory to have a black woman in such like a big, you know, a position of power, and it is. However, she has not persecuted any murderous policemen in mm-hmm. her entire tenure, and so something like that would be like an example of that's probably neoliberalism in action. It's somebody who doesn't want to upset the status quo, who still wants the ultra wealthy to be as rich as possible, and the rest of us to be fighting for crumbs. But
it's the thing that was working yesterday, which I have found in my exploration of white fragility. I went and bought a gun. That's a classic neoliberal move, I would say.
I mean, it's just a classic white dude move. That's a classic scared white guy move is to buy. It's the scared white guy move.
And my therapist would say, "Who's the gun for?" But she's my therapist. So she's, I didn't realize until 10 minutes into the conversation, she's asking, "Is it for you?"
Yep.
Yeah.
Because Hunter S. Thompson bought one at one point, didn't buy it for himself. Like, and I'm like, thank you. You
and
for that
he's
equation.
He's famous.
More important.
For blowing his brains out and letting his daughter find him.
Great suicide note, though.
Yeah.
Football season's over.
Yeah.
There. But it was, the appeal, the billboard for neoliberalism now, I think I've been a spokesman for it in my behavior. And if I just put my thumb in my mouth and just say what I'm really feeling without Kool-Aid plunging into some cause that's gonna like not benefit me ultimately or in any immediate way that I can feel.
Right.
If I just follow my comfort, I am a neoliberal. I want my Obama back. I want my Obama back.
Right. Yeah. And that is something that people need to.
I want you to have committed more to your
Bama back. Well, there's an extra syllable in there. I want my Bama back.
Drones.
There's got to be somebody has done that. Come on. Technocratic, bureaucratic, Bama back.
Oh, it's like the West Wing was real.
It's not a thing because then there's ribs and then that's an unfortunate cultural connotation that we don't want to step into.
But you did a really good job of avoiding it until you mentioned that you avoided it.
Right. I know. Well, that's me. That's classic Harmon. Hey, everybody, look. I'm not racist because I wasn't thinking about this. Schraub, all right. What's your secret? No excuse.
How
are you cutting it up?
How am I cutting it up? I don't know. I was just being an idiot. I mean, like, there was two children there, and they're
nice.
At that age that they just are laughing at any
how old?
Attention. I think 4 and 6.
Those are good social ages. Yeah. Like I like the 4s and the 6s.
Yeah,
like,
I get. Yeah, I'm just goofing off.
Like because they're verbal and they're inquisitive and they're if you talk to them like a grown up, they can. They're pretty fun.
Yeah,
dude. Are you not to pry? Like this could go into personal stuff with you and Kate, who I married.
You married Kate.
I officiated your marriage to her. You guys had no plans to have children, which is why you didn't bother getting married.
I was
married.
The MC at that wedding.
Mm-hmm. Is there any change there? Is there any capacity for change? Do the two of you ever talk about it?
No. No.
You just resolved no kids. Like you're both totally.
I think it's come up. Kate just is not interested, and I'm like fine with that. I don't really.
There's other people's kids.
Yeah, I mean, there's other people's kids. My biggest thing about children is parents.
Yeah.
What happens to you? Do you have kids? Am I insulting
No.
you? Okay. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, I do not have kids.
Okay, so it's just, I see what happens to people when they become parents, and it's something that's great for them.
But even the coolest parents in the world, and I think I have seen them. Like I really.
The cool parents are the worst.
Well, they're not the worst, but I.
They're the worst.
Well, there's things that it heightens. The actual cool parents who are people who I'm like, wow, well, that's as good as you're going to get as far as parenting. Yeah. I still recognize that parenting has subsumed their identity. But
that's it. I mean, like, it's the thing, like, first of all, I'll put my dog up against any baby any day. Any day.
Well, that's a biological killing machine.
That's not a fair fight.
No.
Your dog could kill most.
No. Not a fight. Not a fight.
Clarify.
I'll put my dog up against a baby. Just like, what are you going to do?
Also,
like, this dog is adorable. More adorable than your
baby.
That
Rob Schraub runs a baby dog fight ring out of his fucking apartment.
it's
or a warehouse.
At all what I was saying, but
so where
sure.
are these fights if we wanted to like buy tickets?
Like I just said when you interrupted me, that's not what I meant.
How do you get baby blood out of a carpet?
I didn't mean that.
Well,
club
soda.
Comparing my dog to a baby.
Yes. Okay. So finish that thought. Like a dog is
my dog.
You can experience
not a dog, my dog.
You can experience
your dog, the notorious baby killer.
Like I just said, that's not what I meant.
All right. Well. All right. Swiveling back over, Josh. We can't. Really
and that's how I charm a new group of people.
I want to talk about the classic thing, but for kids, maybe it's not classic. Like Marxism versus communism versus socialism. Marx versus I just found out about this guy Michael Harrington, who's like that was. He's dead, right?
I guess.
But he was an author, activist, whatever. He's sort of the could we say the Chomsky of the DSA or something? I don't know.
Again, like he's a guy who I personally haven't really. And this is like the thing that I love about the DSA is I dropped out of high school. I have never read Marx. I think that socialism is as a concept. It's mostly the liberation of your own body from like a corporate overlord. It's basically the idea of putting the capital, putting the means of production, which is specifically what Marx talked about. I've read quotes specifically like
you got the Snapple, the limited edition.
Yes.
Marx Snapple.
Yeah, which is weird that his estate agreed to any sort of commodification.
But yeah, Snapple, believe it or not, no less.
I think it had a lot to do with old world blue blood relationships. The Snapple fortune was, you know, the Marx chewing gum company, which is right. Something they've buried in the history books.
Yeah, they don't talk about that.
They're both Procter & Gamble.
Yeah.
So, Marx is a, like I'm with you. I have no research. I'm 11 minutes of Wikipedia.
Right.
The reason I bring this stuff up is because, for instance, your average 16-year-old kid right now who, for better or for worse, is wading in the same swimming pool that we all are. I'm getting in fights on the reg, fam, with people who they could be children.
Right.
They could be 40 years older than me. They could be any of those things and be totally. But we're all splashing around in the same pool, and that's a distinct advantage to people who are driven by competition and individualism and I'll say it, hatred. Like, because you can say, for instance, if I were to say I'm having the DSA on my show tomorrow night, someone might say, for instance, I don't know, oh, yeah, great, you guys think Nazis are responsible for all these deaths that you faked, but communism has been responsible for over 80 billion deaths in the last 120 years, blah, blah, blah. Because they
right.
want to label and they want to...
And this is the thing that I would say, like, if there's anything that I've learned, it's... Get off the fucking internet. Stop your, like, book clubs are fine. Like, you can read Marx and talk about whatever. But I learned everything I know about politics, about socialism, about, you know, the thing that radicalized me was going and meeting people, hearing people that work for teachers' unions, hearing, you know, some like intellectuals that are like, you know, work as professors or whatever, just rank and file union folks and nurses and this and that, and talking to all these people and watching the action and participating in an action. That's what teaches me. And to me specifically, I think that we as socialists, we as leftists need to remove ourselves from the world of academia, because I think that that was purposefully done. That was sort of a move like, oh, let's get them all in their little bubbles, their little coastal bubbles, where they just sit and they wear glasses and they look like their bones are going to break if they wear a sweater and they fucking talk and talk and talk. And they just want to jerk off over which dead Russian dude like they liked the most.
Right.
And,
Playing philosophical chess on a daytime talk show.
Sports. It's the same fucking thing. It's who's your team, who's this, and a lot of politics, not just like leftist politics, a lot of like national politics is just sports as well. But when you actually get offline and get out of the, you know, university and go onto the streets and start talking about people and trying to help them, like, you know, DSA right now, for example, like doing an action like this will teach you more, I think, personally about socialism than reading anything. They're putting on a taillight benefit. DSA Los Angeles is doing this inspired by DSA New Orleans. So the thought was, people of color, migrant workers, you know, just undocumented folks, they are getting pulled over and they are being thrown into the carceral state. They're being thrown into, you know, if you're undocumented, you're being thrown into a private prison where they hold immigrants. It's not like they go to a Radisson. They go to a private prison. Or if you're just a fucking black dude, you're going to get fucked with by the cops because the police is inherently a racist system. And so... what we're doing is we are, for free, providing brake lights. If your brake light's out, that's most likely what's going to get you pulled over.
Right, huh. And then they can search your car and stuff because exactly. You look not white.
Right, exactly. And it could, and likely often does, end up with some unarmed person being shot. And so if that is a concept that's like borrowed from the Black Panthers, known as like mutual aid, we help them, but they also help us because we have now ingrained ourselves in the community more. And so we can like get more people to go do more cool shit.
Right,
like
right. And it's like, oh, who's this fucking dude that just gave me a free brake light?
Right. No, like, we promise we're not asking you for anything. Right. Like, we don't want your Facebook login. We don't want any of that.
If you
shit.
Do that 100 times, then so you turning your money into shit that actually translates
right.
with the most fidelity into changing an individual life.
Absolutely, and it's not
charity. How do you do that? How do you just distribute the? I mean, that's
so,
awesome.
Right. So for what we have, if you go to dsa-la.org and you look and you click on the taillight benefit page, there is a like a Kickstarter type thing. It's within our chapters. Like a fundraising thing. And so, so far we've raised over $1,000. And then what happens is we just ask around to friends who know mechanics. We've reached out to high schools that have shop classes. We're looking for a venue now, a large parking lot. The school would be rad because ice can't come on school property. And so what we do is we then talk to our friends and say, hey, who knows how to change a brake light. Then they run a training for the interested volunteers. So now our volunteers know how to fix their own cars, and then they go help fix other people's cars, and then, you know, just talk
nice.
To them.
Nice, yeah. Like, yeah. Like that's appealing to a guy like me, because I'm like, oh, shit, now I feel a little more macho, because
I know how to do this
I'm
thing.
Dealing in brake lights now.
Right. Yeah, you use your hands to help your community.
Speaking of which, like not to put you on the spot, but
sure.
A guy like me, so, like... classically fragile neoliberal, like it, maybe philosophically progressive, no research, total comfort zone, 5-bedroom house, just want everything to go back to the way it was, shuddering at night, fearing not being able to protect my girlfriend from any form of economic destabilization and any manifestation thereof, just want my comfort back. I felt like I was playing the game right, blah, blah, blah. You can read it all in my pamphlet. you get the picture with me. Guy, like, whether it's the famous version of me, but also I'm selfishly asking, like, what are more, like you're directing me to that website in this mm-hmm. case, but like, what are like, what are like little pieces of candy you can hand out once right. I get it on my tongue at no risk to my own comfort,
right?
You know that when I taste it, it'll start happening for
so
me.
This is a thing that we talk about a lot that our healthcare committee and a lot of people working nationally in the healthcare committee talk about is the difference between selfishness, selflessness, and self-interest. These are three different things. Selfishness is, hey, I got all this money, I don't want it to go to anybody, no taxes, whatever, and you know, pure greed, right? Or on you know, conversely, it's I broke my leg, I need Medicare for All because my leg is broken, right? Selflessness is I am a perfectly healthy person, I don't need anything, I'll never be sick because
I'm in
shape.
Take my bone marrow, I've got extra marrow.
Right, and you're doing this for somebody else and not for you at all.
Right.
But selfless or self-interest
I like this already.
Self-interest is how can I help everybody else out while also helping myself out because we're all in this together. And so that kind of, that's the tone that we're aiming for when we talk to people.
You guys like that third one, right?
Yes.
Okay, cool.
Yes.
Because that really sounds good.
I like your
little dance that you did.
Well, because it's like you can, there is room in the world for people under an actual form of democratic socialism.
Right.
That like tell me yes or no. I think the big root fear for I would say especially, but definitely including poor people is, hey, wait, I don't want the rules to monopoly to be that you can't have more money than someone else.
Right, and see, this is a thing that is, you know, a very successful propaganda campaign that...
It's conflating communism and socialism, essentially, right?
Yes, and democratic socialism specifically is not like a state, like, it's not like this big state power or whatever.
Roads
that's like,
and
you
Medicare
can't...
are socialist. Then yes. They exist in... Social Security is socialist.
Social
and it exists
security?
Today.
Absolutely.
It's not communism.
Probably the most famous form of socialism is Social Security. And what it is it's not only a thing that benefits people from people that already have too much, where it's like, this is fair. We all agree that, you know, everybody knows that the people at the top aren't paying enough. And so we all can agree that, like, okay, they just get paid a little bit, or they pay a little bit fucking more into taxes. And then literally we all have healthcare. We all have access to a doctor. It's that easy. And what we want more is like a co-op where you're a worker, you own your company, you're a shareholder. There's not a room full of faceless number men in, you know, gray smoky suits with fucking, you know, just like guns to a dog's head and all the profits go
and
to them.
Stockholders.
Yeah, the shareholders.
Right, with their interests.
And so like a good example of this is another thing that we're doing at the DSA right now, which is we are trying to help Los Angeles create a public bank. Not for you and me to go to the ATM, but when you think about it, Los Angeles has something like $8 billion in 700 bank accounts all at Wells Fargo. At that one bank. And that $8 billion is everything from your electric bill payments to your taxes, to fees, to right. 401k plans for city clerks. When that money is in Wells Fargo then through loans and dividends and investments and whatnot, they spread that money to Philip Morris.
Right.
They spread that money to weapons companies. And
the
so
Keystone Pipeline.
Exactly. Yes. That's
right. What's
one
the
of the
phrase
big ones.
For this again? I saw Sarah Silverman talking about it.
Divest. Divestment. And so a lot of people, Sarah Silverman being one of them, and myself included, have divested our personal money from big Wall Street banks and put them into credit unions. But now what we're asking is for cities, for municipalities, because you and me, and we do like this, it's a drop in the bucket, but $8 billion that is not going to get invested in horrible fossil fuels or private prisons is a big chunk of change to get out of
Wall
Street.
You were talking about that, this idea that local politics started to get subsumed by the banking industry.
I'll be talking out of my ass. There's this YouTube documentary you can watch called Hypernormalization, which is very scary.
It's great.
One of the things it talked about is there is this huge change where the bankers who were de facto funding everything on the government's behalf because banks have stand to gain from being in the business of government, they're like, yeah, let's go along. We'll give you the loan. You can make this building. We'll make City Hall. We're working working together as a team, they went from that to saying, wait a second, we have all the money. Fuck you guys. Do everything we say, because we're a private corporation that now holds the purse strings for the government. And when that fundamental power shift changed, kind of everything got ruined and fucked. So it sounds like this is kind of a reversal. It's defanging the power that finance has, or private finance has, over the government, which shouldn't be in the business of private finance. It should be in the business of aiding people.
Right, exactly. And so these, you know, when your electric bill is sitting at Wells Fargo, Wells Fargo's making, you know, if you pay your electric bill with a credit card, Wells Fargo gets a fee. And that's just coming right off the top from the city money.
Not going to the government.
It doesn't go to the government. It doesn't go to make your roads better or your schools better. It goes into some fucking cokehead's pocket, you know? And so what we want is to create a municipal bank where then all of this money is housed in an institution that's central motive isn't profit. Its central motive is, hey, we are, this is city public money. It's your money. It's my money. It's all of our money. It should stay in Los Angeles, and beyond that, we should open it up so that people historically that have had a hard time getting loans can get loans. We can use this money, like, you know, if it's run well, which banks happen to be run well when it comes to collecting a profit at the end of the year, instead of that profit going to bankers, that profit can go into housing or schools and the like.
The theory behind the American dream is that money is the great equalizer, that it is like somehow a supreme kind of meta form of democracy that doesn't have to happen every 4 years pulling a lever, that you can work hard and work so hard, that love your children so much, love your family so much, that you can chisel away at so much fucking coal in a mine that you're, while your coal mining colleague is like, you know, I love mining coal, but I'm going to go home and fucking chill. I can't wait to get off of work, and I figured out a way to mine coal. But that if you, for whatever reason,
pull yourself up by your
that
bootstraps.
You're like, God damn it, I'm fucking going to mine so much fucking coal, and that somehow that represents some kind of egress, that you can become a capitalist, that you can become, that you can there are people listening to that disagree with me politically, but absolutely everyone agrees that that's what's for sale. It is the,
yes.
Whenever anyone detracts, so whenever someone like cries out for rights or fair treatment and people start coming down on them and saying like, why don't you get a fucking job? Why don't you just work hard? What do you mean? Isn't this a slippery slope? All this stuff. All of those sentiments lead back to the Rome of, yeah, but shouldn't we just live in a society where if you work extra hard, harder than the person next to you, that represents a changed opportunity to play the Monopoly game?
Right, and fundamentally it's a flawed premise because that doesn't take into account historical context of people of color being subjugated and generationally not being put in a position where they can get this job. So that leads white people who don't know that they have, you know, started the race at the finish line going like, hey, look at these people lagging in the back. Maybe if they ran faster. Like, and the thing is, it's not your fault if you're a white dude that racism exists. And that's like a big problem with a lot of people on the left that are correctly angry but aren't trying to bring people in and go, you know, I don't hate every Trump voter. I think that talking about Trump voters as this like huge amorphous blob of hate is wrong. It's wrongheaded. It's bad. 20% I'll give. 20% of Trump voters, irreparable racists, horrible people. But I really truly believe that 80% of Trump voters have a kid that's addicted to opiates or lost their house or lost their job. And like you said, they kept fucking working hard and nothing happened. And so they wanted to make a change. They just wanted to give a big fuck you to the system that ruined their lives. And the Democrats seeing this, and this is why I don't think you can work within the Democratic Party, because ultimately they're beholden to their donors. But they see this, and who do they trot out to fight this? The avatar of the status quo. And you see it happen over and over and over again. And the only time that it works is if you have literally the most charismatic man who's ever been nominated for president to sell that bill of goods to people.
Yeah, and if that ever happened, boy, you'd know it, because there would be this actual measurable shift in everything from economy to society, to the point, and I'm not kissing his feet, but it's like, That's, we cannot wait for another guy that happens to be that lightning in a jar. Like
as long as it's, I don't know, because I think Obama as a man is a great man. I think he as a president, I disagreed with a lot of his decisions. Obviously, compared to the other guys, you know, that sandwiched him, he was this golden, you know, statue of pure greatness. But when you, I think the Democrats fundamentally don't understand how power works, because if they did, they wouldn't have lost thousands of state legislature seats under Obama. How, when you have such a popular president, can you just get fucking creamed in every local election? And it's because the Democrats are just so top heavy. They're this big bobblehead that is just doomed to fall forward and not move.
Yeah, okay.
And
yeah.
So that's why we at the DSA, we're not targeting even senators or, you know, we want state legislatures.
It's a thing that we all have in common with these let's say these 20% of Trump voters who actually voted out of frustration. We're cousins, all of us. If you in your backyard there's a pothole that hasn't been filled,
right?
If by virtue of some bureaucratic absurdity your kid's leukemia isn't covered,
right?
Everybody,
and bureaucratic absurdity in that case, by the way, is greed. Like, it's definitely greed.
And it's just that, because it's just by virtue of belt buckles and baseball caps and the way that we express when we aren't armed with Noam Chomsky's vocabulary, our frustration with a system. Some guy right next to me in terms of tax bracket and ideology is going to maybe say key phrases that I have been armed to recognize as the enemy. Mm-hmm. Well, when these guys start talking about freedom of speech, they mean they want to be Nazis. When these guys start talking about where's my gold pocket watch, what they mean is that they want this institutionalized thing. And then they're hearing the same thing. When these people talk about Black Lives Matter, they mean blah, blah, blah. And it's like, I mean, we've all said it 1,000 times and it's right under our nose. Like the divisions there are so artificially imposed. They have to be forced. Otherwise, if you like, you know, these movies where like society collapses and then like within 30 years, there's just ivy and wolves everywhere.
Right.
Like there is constant infrastructural pressure necessary to maintain a division between a black person and a white person in America.
Right. And
you have to wake up every morning and make sure those two people know that they're black and white.
And they do. And the powers that be do that. And, you know, it starts, you know, you go back to Howard Zinn, who is somebody I have read a lot and really like define my worldview. He talks about how after one of the first big slave rebellions, where white slaves and black slaves teamed up, the powers that were like, oh, fuck, if all of the poor people team up, we're fucked. So they created the middle class. They were like, okay, white slaves in the New World, when you guys got 20 years, and then you'll get a house, and you'll get a car, and you'll get, you know, not a car, but a horse, which was, they called them cars back then. but you'll get a house and a horse and fucking, you know, 40 acres and a mule. And that was so.
There's a horse in every pot.
A horse in every pot and a chicken underfoot.
And one day the pot will have wheels, we promise.
Yeah. The wheeled pot and real pot.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. So what that does is that makes it so that, and you're right, it is this intense artificial pressure, but it is very specific and it is there purposefully. And it's to keep the people that are two rungs from the bottom of the ladder kicking down.
Yep.
Just constantly kicking down. And if we all realize that we're all being fucked and don't try to buy into the artificial fucking separation of who we are and allow each other to make mistakes and whatnot, that's how the labor movement got us a weekend. You know, it was these people weren't less racist back when labor had more power in America. People were more racist. We get less racist every year, but through great organizing and people that literally died and standing up for their rights, you saw black people, white people, men and women team up to go, we're all getting fucked. Some of us might be getting fucked less. Some of us may be getting fucked more, but we're banding together because, again, self-interest. It helps me. It helps everybody else. We need to band together on this.
With 10 Tony nominations, including Best Musical, The New York Post says Something Rotten is a big, fat hit. This hilarious new show tells the story of two brothers who are desperate to write their own hit play while the rock star Shakespeare keeps getting all the hits.
When a local soothsayer foretells that the future of theater involves singing, dancing, and acting at the same time, the what? Brothers set out to write the world's very first musical. With its heart on its ruffled sleeve and sequins in its soul, New York Magazine says Something Rotten is The Producers meets Spamalot meets The Book of Mormon. The tickets are at the AmundsenTheater.org. That's the Amundsen Theater.
Now through December 31st, tickets at AmundsenTheater.org. Now, we return you to podcast.
Something Rotten. You'll float too.
Let's check in with Rob Schraub after this beat. Give me a beat.
And Rob, I hear you're about to grace us with some tips on how to make your Thanksgiving more vegan friendly.
This is how you get them. You give them a small dose of politics and then entertainment. Entertainment. Showbiz. Bring the jizz. Stroke your dick, make a pool of semen. Y'all know what I mean when I say millennials are gay. Today, everybody, explore your love. Not a hawk, but a dove. White feathers with your brothers. Everybody gonna go in the nether in Minecraft. Let's rap about Minecraft. Dig a hole. I know about that. Craft a pickaxe and craft some more. Then you can get more valuable ore. You get a diamond and you make armor from that. And then you fight the dragon and the game ends. But that's not, it doesn't have to. All right, sorry, I got excited about Minecraft. Break. Rap. Break. Church, do the can you do the just the Rihanna kind of, can you sing, can it just make you sing like a, just
he wants you to improvise,
well,
just a chorus
like if I rap and then you and then I'll okay, I'm rapping real hard, but that's only one little shard from the mirror of society's reflection. I fucked your mom with my erection. Erection. That's a hard
to
dick.
Mama.
To dinner. Yo, Church is on the mic providing my hooks. She's like a chef assisting a cook, but not in a hierarchical way. We're equal partners for equal pay because we're socialists, and her work should pay off. When your kid goes in and they make him cough and it turns out one of his testicles has a tumor, it shouldn't spread like a bad rumor. It should be surgically removed for like a minimal cost by an effectively guided society.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Obviously, yeah. Choo-choo rapper. Choo-choo rapper like a choo-choo train ripped off Mr. Show just then. Not gonna do it, gonna shuffle to the side. Fuck your mama till her pussy got extra wide. Double-decker bus in Britain. I don't fuck your mama if I'm spitting. I'm chewing on tobacco. I go somewhere else because I have some class. Milk tastes good.
Fuck your mama like a choo-choo train.
Choo-choo-choo-choo.
Fuck your mama like a choo-choo train.
Fuck your mama like a
choo-choo train.
Fuck your mama like a choo-choo train.
Fuck your mama like a choo-choo train.
I'm a caboose in the engine. I fuck your mama like a choo-choo train. All aboard. All aboard your mama. Go across the country. Fuck your mama so hard she looked like Hubert Humphrey.
All aboard your mama.
Fuck your mama.
Smokestack
like
on the top, spewing smoke.
Fuck your mama.
Fuck
like
your mama so
train.
Hard, but it's not a joke. I did it because I love her.
Fuck your mama.
This is the worst.
Fucking mama.
The worst show.
It's great.
We're doing
it. No, it's really good.
What? What, it's bad?
I fuck your mama like a choo-choo train.
All right, well, okay, thank you.
That was the exact dance Hillary did on Ellen. It was great.
Let's hear it for church.
Yeah, thanks,
church.
Let's hear
it for church.
Woo! You get wait, church, soda? Church, come back up here. Cause, you guys were talking fridge. Earlier about going to Thanksgivings. I met her parents, and her father is John Goodman from The Big Lebowski, but like kind of mellow and funny, and he's military. But it was cool meeting your family, and he declared no political talk, no Trump talk, no, because he's a Trump voter, right?
Yeah.
And your mother voted Trump. Just,
nope.
No.
He doesn't know that, though.
Oh, she secretly didn't do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he declared before Thanksgiving dinner that there would be no politics talk.
Mostly because he knew he'd be outnumbered.
Yeah, yes. How convenient.
Yeah,
he's like, no politics. Like,
10-on-1,
okay.
No fight.
Your medal, sir, for silencing discourse during this holiday, I give you...
But in between dinner and pie, things started to lean towards politics talk, and I went and played Legos with the...
Because he wanted more pie.
No,
an unfair amount of pie.
He wanted a bigger piece of pie.
He wanted a whole pie.
Yeah, Dan, it was trickle-down Cool Whip. a lot of people think that if you put out more Cool Whip, it'll trickle down onto more pie.
It's not true.
It's not true.
No, I'll eat it all.
But Church is a genius because she's like Spock. Like you're a logic like junkie, and you can take your dad out. And you she took him out for an hour outside, smoked cigarettes. Or you smoked, he vaped. And they came back in, and you had fucking...
And I had fixed him.
You'd sorted him out. Sorted him out?
Temporarily.
Temporarily?
Wait, explain. Like, how, like, tangible was this fix?
Well, most people, when they talk to my father, and I've noticed this online, too, and this happens with my uncle and my cousins, is people react really emotionally, right, to the obviously heinous shit that they're saying, the excuses they're making for things that are inexcusable, and, like... The truth is that everything keeps coming back to this but Hillary argument, and the reason is that all of those excuses, all of those defending of Roy Moore's and all this crap that's happening right now is really just a defending of the decision they made to vote for someone because they hate Hillary. Right. It's got nothing to do with him as a president or anything that's happening, and especially with my father being the military guy... He's got this notion of the greater good that also comes from a military, like, well, war's ugly and things are terrible and, you know, you got to get through it and, you know, that some things are going to be bad, but in the long run, it's all going to be better. And that's how he judges Roy Moore's right now, because it's for the greater good in his eyes, because we had to do this because Hillary, we were avoiding this horrible thing. And I think that that's a lot of people and their perspective.
And they saw everybody dancing the streets about hope and change on Obama's election. And then as a matter of historical economic course, their lives didn't get better.
Yeah.
And,
right.
And so that obvious connection is made there. Otherwise, if you're not a politician,
it's like Sarah Palin's like, how's all that hope and changey stuff going for you?
Right. Right.
And everyone's like, yeah, actually.
We indoctrinate everybody into this dichotomy system where we go like, okay, here's the Rock'em robot, here's the Sock'em robot. And then, and this idea that we have to defend not voting for Hillary, it's kind of like.
It's a default.
It's kind
it's
of
a
like a macrocosm
reaction.
Of saying at the emergency room, like, now, honey, you know, like, you made me do that.
Well, my dad literally at one point goes, well, I didn't start it. And I was like, what are you, five? And he starts laughing.
You know,
and
I didn't
like,
want to do
what's
that.
What's going on right now? Like, I'm like, you just keep saying, you keep going back to this thing. And I'm like, at a certain point, you got to realize, like, that's over, that's done. No one's trying to take away from you your rationale for why you voted the way you did for this piece of human garbage because you were throwing the dice. But now that he's president, judge him for what he's doing. And he was like, yeah, okay, you know, you're maybe right. And I'm like, okay.
Right, and that's
so,
the difference.
Like, if I actually understand and I go like, okay, I think I know why you're making arguments that I know that you don't even believe right now. Like, I know why you're making the excuses that you're making right now. It's like, I know that you don't think that it's okay for a 32-year-old man to fuck a 14-year-old. So why is my father saying that right now? Oh, it's because he's defending the indefensible because he has an idea of some kind of greater good and some greater battle that's happening right now. And so he's making excuses.
In his mind, I would say some of the people who are defending Roy Moore...
Careful, he's a friend.
They might...
big friend of the show, too.
I had no interest in defending Al Franken. Like, and then I read that one article that was like, wait, if Franken gets yanked from the picture... this is a blow against net neutrality. And then I was like, then that, because I don't care if a senator gets fucking hauled up to the RoboCop police station desk and forced to fucking account for being they woke up committing a crime if they're a politician. This is America. If you're a politician, you should already be suspected of everything. And you should wake up with shame because you're getting paid to do fucking jack shit.
Right.
You're a parasite. Sorry. But it's a cushy gig. You're a fucking politician. Eat my dick. But and wake up every morning in a world where you have to prove that you're not a criminal.
Yeah.
You're
yeah,
a politician. Yeah. But then I was like, oh shit, net neutrality. God damn it. Is right. this a goddamn conspiracy? This Republican woman, wait, there's the picture of him doing the titty honk, but his fingers aren't touching her. You can see shadows under them. My mom and I were bonding about this. You can see shadows under them. He's not touching. It's a dude. The only other thing is that her story about tongues, and then she got photographed. Anyone watching this from the outside would start to go, would look at me and go like, boy, you Democrats, you'll do anything to... You just love violating women.
Well, and I think that this brings up a really valuable point of discussion where we need to not have it in 140 characters, or we need to actually talk to each other about this shit. But like,
yeah.
the unavoidable truth that we as people on the left can do and should hold ourselves to a higher account than people on the right. And, you know, you don't see Roy Moore getting this much pressure from the right. And that's not good that the right's doing that. We shouldn't, like, there's no answer to this right now, but it's something to really talk about and think about.
But again, remember, I think that it's because inherently they're trying to defend
right.
their guy and their party right now, and they're constantly having to do that. So every time one of theirs goes down, they're like, fuck, we got to undo, we got to make every excuse, we got to find a way, they're lying or whatever it is. We're on right. the left, we're going, I'm not mad at the women who accuse Al Franken. Right. I'm like disappointed in Al Franken, yeah. and I'm going like, God damn, like we need you, you know, like God, how many others might have
but
fucked up?
Really
but
into net neutrality, you might even start to go over the weekend. I started to go, is this a conspiracy?
Right. It's happening
now
though.
I'm defending a sexual like.
Now you're
that, like,
now,
I could
now you're just
like,
the same. Like it's the same magical
lose.
Thinking.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah.
Now I'm a zealot. Now
my
I'm
guys
like,
are all infallible because we're the guys with the white hat on, and
right.
your guys are all garbage because they have the black hat on because we think that good and evil is a black and white thing.
And if you look at like the board, if you look at the whole chessboard, the right has won all three branches of government. The FCC is probably gonna like.
Yeah, there's
fucking,
nothing we could do.
There's nothing we can do.
We should fight, but there's nothing we could do.
Like we should absolutely try, but Al Franken isn't gonna change much.
Right.
I think if you really like pull back and look at how much power the right has, and to your point, which is a really good point, I think that part of this is like these people are conditioned on all sides to come at this defensively, like, and that's a problem of the media, that's a problem of online discourse, that's a problem with the way in which we talk about politics because we get too emotionally invested.
Well, and it's the way we talk about each other too, because the
right.
dehumanization is,
yes.
I think, at its worst point right now. And by dehumanization, like for me, you know, it's all about the other, right? And the other would be anybody who's so different from your way of being that they are not human anymore to you, like, because you can't form empathy for them, whether that's like, and right now that's as simple as being a Democrat and a Republican.
It's as simple as driving like, a Prius instead of a Ford F-150.
Yeah,
yeah.
Like that's literally
and
that's
like how,
enough
how
for people to say, oh, you're
understand.
Not a man.
Well,
let's make it even simpler because let's talk about 25-year-olds who can't afford a Prius or a Ford F-150 aren't making that decision, and therefore those decisions are actually ideological for them. And every day, for better or for worse, whether they should be doing it or not, these people are living online.
Yeah.
And every and their chimpanzee spinal cords are
jacked up by these interactions they're having. I just did it today. I'm a 44-year-old grown-ass man. I got in one fight with my girlfriend while traveling this entire Thanksgiving, all these connecting flights, all this stress. We even high-fived each other and even knew we were jinxing it. We didn't fight. We traveled as a couple. We didn't fight. We had one kerfuffle, and it was absolutely centered around I got on Twitter.
Yep.
The important thing seems to be that the way that the internet is, the nature of it favors, I'm just going to use simple language, it favors Nazis. It does not favor hippies.
Right.
If you want people to be happy, you are having to overcome obstacles on the internet. If you want people to be angry, if you want people to be afraid, every step you take, it's like you're on one of those airport conveyor belt things where every step you take takes you five steps further. And the left is walking against it because technology, until we figure out a way to add a wire to the internet cables that makes you feel what the other person is feeling, it's like we're in this pool together and we're just going like, oh, I want everybody to be happy. And it kind of like touches on your thing. And I don't know if it's a good thing to use it. Like we should use this as an example though, because it's like, you're clearly on a blue streak. You're a charismatic, amazing voice to have out there. You're a comedian that is a dedicated socialist, and maybe I'm just drunk or maybe I like you, but like it's like, wow, you're a weapon in the arsenal of making this shit work. And yet, through no one's fault really, except for the way we operate versus how the enemy operates, you had to resign from an official position because of a joke you made. Because we can't, if you're interested in equality, you can't. That doesn't merge well with the
jokes.
Less
tolerance is being used against us right now.
And we're
the
also
fact that we stand for all of that equality and we want everything to be like fair and all of these things that they call us a snowflake for is absolutely being used against us, particularly online. And then the moment that we get as ugly as they do and go, okay, let's tussle in the mud then. Let's get down and dirty here. They go, oh, look who's triggered. Yeah. And like, where's your tolerance now?
Mm-hmm.
Like,
So
much for the tolerant left. Look at you. You're all mad. It's so easy to trigger you.
You guys can't even get along with each other.
Right.
Look at all these women are arguing with each other about blah, blah, blah. Like, what do you expect us to take this seriously? You guys can't even stop pillow fighting about this. You know, it's just condescending. Like, mm-hmm. Look, you're not an army.
Well, to the point specifically about my thing, I fucked up in allowing ammo for that. I tweeted a thing, a Bill Cosby joke that I agree with people. Like, it was right after the Weinstein thing, and no woman needs to go online and see some fucking white dudes posing with Bill Cosby's star. Like, I see how people would be upset. And I gave them a context-free way for everybody to get mad at me, from the right to the left. Like, you know, oh, you're a fucking pussy for apologizing and resigning. Oh, you know, like, how dare you? And truly, I'm not a politician. I thought I was a politician. I thought that I could be in this position where you're going to be judged so harshly on everything you say, and everything you say represents this group. And I made it very clear in that moment, no, I don't want to do that anymore. I don't want to have the DSA's reputation on the hook for me, because I'm a comedian and I'm a writer, and so I inherently take certain risks and fall on my face. And when I do that in front of a crowd, 40 to 100 people don't like me. But when I do it on Twitter as the face of the DSA, that could bring down the left if, you know, weaponized correctly. And so I see where things, you know, where it made a lot of sense for me to resign. On the other side of that spectrum, like you said, if you know who I am and you know the context, nobody in the local chapter that knows me got super upset with that. Nobody who is like my friend, nobody who knows that I was making a reference to taking Confederate statues down knows that I led a charge to get the Confederate statue taken down at Hollywood Forever Cemetery. But that's my fuck up for giving them this ammo. So we, like, especially within our leadership, need to hold ourselves to an even higher standard. And so what I want to do now is sort of just be a little bit more of a Steve Bannon, but good, where you can help people say things and take what is the internet, what is the internet good for? I think it's good for, like, radicalizing and ideology. And you see podcasts.
And it's bad for that, too.
Well, it's bad for that if it's bad ideology. It's good, yeah. It's good pure, like morally ambiguous radicalization, whether it's for ISIS or for the good guys. Like, the internet can do that.
Right.
And I think the Democrats, and a big reason why I'm upset with the Democrats, is that they won the culture war, but they ceded the ideological battle for no fucking reason. They got rid of union halls, which was the one place where people, like poor people, people of color, working class people, met up and talked face to face. And then on the internet, all it is fucking GIFs and the West Wing and Harry Potter references. There's no ideology, and that's what socialism, and specifically for me, democratic socialism, gives me, is it gives me this fuel to understand, oh, this is happening because of this. I know, because this guy that I like fucking told me this, or this woman who rules taught me this thing just by watching her do it.
Well, so, okay. So I know you're saying, like, first and foremost, consider getting off the internet more and more.
Yeah.
It will always be there. It runs everything. You can get caught up within a moment. Yep. You could spend an entire week off of Twitter, from my experience, and not a lot has changed. That's not the same as telling you you're wrong for currently being on it,
not
or
at
anything
all.
Like that. It's just,
or,
like,
to tune out and stop being informed either. That's right. Not tuning out and stopping being informed.
Yeah. And so, but however, and then there's that. It's like, everybody experiment with, like start spending more time in the real world and blah, blah, blah. For those of us who are just going to do tomorrow what we did yesterday, but want to put, like, one tag for our tag cloud, one little piece of awareness on how we spend tomorrow. And sadly, we're going to spend tomorrow texting, tweeting, posting, reacting, commenting, arguing, fighting, getting mad, getting scared, acquiescing to that, saying that's how we're going to behave tomorrow. What is there some kind of little algorithm, some kind of little call to consciousness that harms nothing, threatens nothing, demands almost nothing? Just
yes,
that where every interaction, everything you see online, every way that you're reacting to it internally, and every conflict you start getting in on a comment section, like, is there some kind of...
So what I've done personally that's really helped me is you have to recognize that national media focuses on national storylines that you can't affect. You can't change this huge thing. So what I've done is I've stopped watching cable news. Cable news, inherently, it's only there to scare you and make you buy, you know, fucking Centrum Silver or whatever.
And to delegitimize fringe voices in favor of corporate status quo.
Absolutely.
But where am I going to find out whether or not I can sue somebody for mesothelioma?
Game Show Network.
Okay.
I mean, the Game Show Network is the only channel I watch, and that's what you should do. Whammies.
These fuckers want you to sue them or sue somebody for mesothelioma. It's crazy.
They're going to find you.
Are you suggesting, though, because suggesting that people...
Pay attention to Trump in only how he can entertain you by being an idiot.
Is there a way to start shifting over for all of us Facebook, Twitter addicted, Tumblr addicted,
yes,
everybody? Like, so we could shift over to local. These things all have local...
Yes, roots, and it all starts at the local level. So there is a DSA chapter or PSL, which is the Party for Socialism and Liberation. There are progressive groups if you don't have, like, a socialist. Like, find the most leftmost people in your community.
You can follow groups on Twitter that are the
DSA,
local...
Yeah, DSA Los Angeles, DSA, you know...
And then your Twitter feed is going to be injected with such a little bit of...
Right.
Oh, the Los Feliz Boulevard, this is happening there. At the corner of this and that, you're going to go, whoa, that's just down the block from my house.
Exactly.
And that might start a kind of... You might actually decide one day you got nothing to do, and, like, you know the address they're talking about. You know the shopping center that where this is happening. And that.
Right. So what'll happen is, like, an account, a DSA account or one of these other leftist accounts will retweet about a state bill. And a state, like state bills are where power is in your state. Like we live in a country that allows a lot of states' rights. There was a big fight about it a couple hundred years ago. But
I generally disagree with it, but it's what we have.
It's what we have. And so using what we have, we can look at a situation. Have any of you ever called a state representative?
Yeah, a couple times.
I did one.
Oh wait,
time.
No. What, once. Not a U.S.
Not a U.S. congressman. Right. Not a senator. A state senator.
A state rep.
Right. The only people that call state senators are like, excuse me, my mailman's too Chinese. You know what I mean? Like they're the craziest people in the world. And there are these really important bills going through. California, for example, has a Medicare for All bill that's been shelved, but with enough popular pressure, could be brought back. These people, like when you call your state representatives, not your national representatives, they're so happy to not be talking to a blind racist, to fucking Clint Eastwood in Gran Torino, because those are the people who call. And your efforts, you know, it takes effort to go on your lunch break and look up the number and fucking, because you're working all the time, to find the phone number to call for Nancy Pelosi to just ignore you, or fucking Dianne Feinstein to not even fucking pick up the phone.
Oh yeah.
And literally there was somebody in LADSA that sent a pizza with pepperoni spelling out like our message to them, because they wouldn't, there was like, don't confirm, what's the guy that looks like the Keebler elf?
Sessions.
Dennis Kucinich? Oh, yeah. I'm dating myself.
Okay. Yeah. It's like, you know, to get through to those people is so hard. But you, as an individual, look at where your power lies. Your power lies in your community. And so if you just change the trajectory and make like a call a week about an issue that is like, look and see what state measures are
going
on.
But it also might be helpful to say, your life lies at the local level.
Yes.
Like if you actually become one of these people, and I think we've encountered old people that we kind of, we're like, what's with them? Like, they're so passionate about the fucking twigs and gathering on the street corners or whatever. Like, well, become the cool version of one of those people.
Yeah.
And you'll be following your comfort level because it's your neighborhood, and you'll also like, because I think also it's like, if you're thinking the whole time, well, I'm gonna hand this blanket or this taillight to this person, and in so doing, I'm gonna take down Trump. You're gonna get frustrated every time you come home to 900 Trump tweets,
exactly,
and feel like you're acting in futility. But all right, well, goddamn, I mean,
and one last thing, if you don't mind,
go for it, and also like fucking talk. What the Jesus?
Oh shit.
Jeff's a secret alt-right agent. He's trying to undercut your message.
I've said this before, but like the reason the Tea Party won is because they
serve tea.
They don't watch prestige television and they don't fuck. Like that's the reason why they won. They all they do is this. But there are so many fewer of them than there are us. Mm-hmm. So if we just do a little bit, and you can still fucking watch The Deuce. James Franco's surprisingly good in it. And you can still watch fucking, well, you know, whatever shows you want to watch or be on Bumble or fucking whatever. But just like once a week, just like look and see what's going on in your community and do that. And if enough of us give, I mean, that's what socialism's all fucking about. It's enough of us working a little bit so that the rest of us don't have to work super fucking hard. Mm-hmm. And I think that fundamentally is the way that we need to look at the world.
And you can go to city like public hearings and stuff too, like local government.
Yeah.
I don't know, like on NPR you always hear like, oh, it's 7 p.m. on a Tuesday, so we're going to take you now to the Santa Monica City Hall where a bunch of people are going to get mad about parking. And like you can be one of those people mad about parking and you can have a lot better ideas. And it's not like, well, I mean, it's the same thing about like these racists calling like the state senators. Right. It's like the people who go there are generally crazy old people with stupid concerns.
Yep.
And I bet a lot of people are, you know, willing to hear reasonable concerns from less stupid people.
Right. And the proof of that right now is that, like, through Divest LA, and definitely check out Divest LA and Public Bank LA if you live in Los Angeles. And there's great public bank movements in the Bay Area and all across the country. Like they did exactly that. They went to a local city council meeting and various local neighborhood council meetings and were like, hey, we have this idea, and it generated enough. And this was directly in response to the pipeline shit, the Dakota Access Pipeline, right. Wells Fargo's involvement in that. And what happened was, without any real like stalling or anything, like a smooth ride, the city city council unanimously voted to divest $40 million from Wells Fargo. And it was just like a couple people that like look like us that
just,
you know,
showed up.
That just showed up and we're like talking about it. And then, you know, next thing you know, the world is billions of dollars better. And that's where it counts.
It turns out we have good ideas.
Yeah.
Well, I felt like my initial instinct was, okay, I'm going to have, I had my Eleanor Democrat on, and I have my, I'm going to have the DSA on, and I'm going to have Antifa on, I'm never going to have a Nazi on, but, you know, much as I met Spencer by asking, is there a dungeon master here, I feel like, you're not, you know, we're not being indoctrinated into any cult or political party when we talk about acting locally and all this
right.
stuff. And you're very charismatic and unthreatening. You're definitely decoagulating my defense mechanisms. And therefore, let's say you're LA based, right?
Yeah.
Let's have you back.
Sure.
Sooner than later, because let's start the conversation at like, what should we do? Like
yeah.
Locally, because then like locally can mean locally everywhere that everyone's watching, and it doesn't. Jesus Christ, he hates.
He's really trying.
He hates progress.
He loves symbols.
But and so give us one more time, I guess, maybe the website if people want to just start.
Yeah. I mean, DSAUSA.org is the national website. You can follow DSA on Twitter. On DSA LA is DSA-LA.org. But I encourage you, I'm not here to tell you just to join the DSA.
Right.
Those are the people that I found that
most importantly, because I think the biggest thing that's going to trigger people is like we're not Bernie Broin necessarily here.
No, and there are people that are you know, okay, so what the thing that made me join is I went with a friend of mine to a meeting right after the election, and I was like, you know, I'll give these guys a shot. Let's see what happens. And I saw a bunch of fucking white dudes with glasses and various forms of facial hair that look like they listen to podcasts all the time. And I was like, okay. It's like a bunch of guys like me or whatever. And then the person that was leading the meeting, the chair at the time, was this amazing witchy old woman named Carol, who I love, who is like one of the greatest women in the history of politics. She flipped over a bus during an anti-Vietnam protest and just kept the seat warm.
Because knowing... her baby was under it.
Yeah. She, okay. That's why she had the magic, the power.
So otherwise, I don't approve of female strength on physical levels.
No. She's a regular She-Hulk. And she said, like, okay, who's here? Who doesn't really necessarily vibe with DSA, but is just here for, you know, just to see what's up? And this guy came up and he was like, I'm a Democrat and I am not going to change that at any time. He's like an older man. And he was like, I just want to be somewhere and with a group of people that can help point me in the right way to help change the Democratic Party. Is it okay if I'm in here? And there were like kind of like snickers, like, you know, a little bit. And then Carol walks up and goes, now, I'm sure a lot of you disagree with this tactic. I'm sure a lot of you disagree with working within the Democratic Party. And we're like nodding our heads. And she's like, how many of you are willing to do the work that he's going to do in the Democratic Party? And we were all like, not me. And she's like, right. So we have a big tent where it's called a big tent organization where if no matter what your level of involvement is, no matter what your politics are, if you want to help locally on issues that I guarantee you agree with, everything from like, hey, maybe we shouldn't put spikes under overpasses so homeless people can't live in under our precious overpasses, Mitch O'Farrell, city councilperson of Los Angeles, you'll find that. And then beyond that, you'll be able to find, like, we're not an amorphous blob. We have our housing and homelessness committee, which is focused on doing things like street watch, which cops go and illegally fuck up homeless encampments. People that have a job and a computer and a phone and are right there ready to get a fucking apartment, they'll go in and bust all their shit and break all their shit completely illegally. So we have a couple people who are comfortable waking up at 4 a.m. when we have a Google number gets called and says there's a sweep coming, and they just stand there with their phones and they just videotape, and the cops don't fuck with people. So like, if that interests you, you can do that. If you're into healthcare, if you're into prison abolition, who's doing a lot of great work with our mutual aid group on the taillight benefit, like there's all these different causes.
And maybe if what you're really good at is sitting in front of your computer and following your kind of anger and outrage and trolling people, there might even be a job for you that actually ends up, you know, you can use those skills if you want to feel like you're fucking with
people.
You know
what's the best thing in the world? Fucking real life trolling. we ruined Mayor Garcetti's election party because he was capitulating with Trump and not he wasn't calling Los Angeles a sanctuary city, which, right, by the way, it still fucking isn't. And yeah, so he was letting our, because he wants the Olympics so fucking bad, he was letting the cops work hand in hand with ICE and fuck people over. There was this big story that I'm not sure if you remember in Highland Park where a dude was literally dropping his daughter off. He had a DUI 40 years ago. It's the only crime he ever committed. And he was just snatched. And
he was one of the first ones.
Yeah. Romulo was his name. And mm-hmm. he luckily, because of public pressure, was let out. But in response to this, we used our anger and we found out, well, shit, the mayor is getting elected in what is going to be a landslide. Might as well be running unopposed. He's throwing a big party. It's a boring election with a lot of press. Let's go fuck it up. And so 100 of us showed up and started yelling about getting ICE out of Los Angeles, and we had people infiltrate and interrupt his speech. And then what ended up happening was people that worked for the mayor came out to us like during the party, like kind of were like, hey, keep doing stuff like this, please, because we never get pressure from the left. It's always pressure from the right. And so we kept pressuring on, and granted, this wasn't our idea. We had groups like that organized undocumented people that are on the front lines who can't go be so fucking confrontational with the mayor. But we, as a group of mostly white people, can use our privilege to amplify their voices and put ourselves in the way of jail time, which they're not going to arrest a bunch of fucking white people. Like, that's just not how cops work. And so we yelled and we yelled and we yelled and we yelled. And 2 weeks later, he passed Special Order 40, which makes it so that no Los Angeles city official can collaborate with ICE. And it's like, that's trolling that fucking works.
Right.
That's just you being, we literally did the Simpsons, Eric, while he was getting his fucking makeup on. And it was fun. And
there may be people out there that don't, they're like, well, I don't want to do that. I don't want to be a troll and all that stuff. But my point is like
low-income women rides to abortion clinics because people do that too.
There's every personality. It's like when you run a TV show, you go like, there's people who love writing fanfic, like 500 pages of what if stuff. There's people who hate those people, but they can love the same TV show. I'm translating this into my own fucking narcissistic thing. I don't want to be the guy that cuts off the guy that's like passionate and is like doing good by talking. So, but if we cut into D&D time, we'll be undercutting the entire DSA.
Yes,
they'll be the reason we didn't play D&D. But let's resolve that. Like, whether it's like a segment, you come back for 10 minutes of per show or whatever, and like sure. like help me like reform myself as a locally active person. I'm too drunk. I'm making too many promises, but something. Or we have you back very soon. Like, I really appreciate your willingness, especially in light of how, you know, just hearing about your recent like kind of brush up against the PC thing and how that must fucking suck for somebody that just wants to be. You're a hero to me because you clearly care about this stuff enough to keep like plunging along and actually saying this shit.
The movement's more important than me.
Yeah.
And so ultimately, the reason that I resigned is it was like, I don't want to be a weight.
That's
on
a threshold I'd love to cross. And maybe you can help me the way like Brandon and Duncan like help me like stay positive instead of negative and stuff. But so let's thank you, Josh Androsky, for coming by. We'll see you again soon. And thank you for dressing like Spencer.
Yeah, and just again, he's not officially spokesperson for the DSA. They again didn't step up to the plate.
If it gets your dander up, there might be a couple. I'm sympathetic if you're like, oh, I'm a Harmontown fan. I delineate that from politics. So what I don't like is for my Harmontown episode to be entirely about politics. I sympathize with that. I would submit to you, I do not know what Harmontown is supposed to be, which is why sometimes it is something that you find amazing. And I think there are probably some people that are orgasming right now because we finally, we walked the walk a little bit in terms of a booking and like, holy shit,
that was a signal to boost, I think, because I've been babbling forever about acting locally and all this shit, and I don't know how to do it.
Yeah.
And so making a friend that actually knows how to walk that walk is important to me, and what's important to me should be important to you. So fuck you, Julie.
Yeah, Julie.
With your joint dangling from your mouth, thinking Harmontown's so great, but only when he raps about fucking my mama.
Is Steve Levy here tonight?
No, which is why we need to replace him with... Let's bring Rob Schraub back up.
Rob Schraub!
Oh, yeah. Almost.
Oh, boy.
Oh, shit. He put a chair on the stage. He's rolling about.
Rob, since you have wheels, go get our character sheets for us, would you? Rob Schraub is going to Davros his way across our stage.
Hurt. This might hurt him.
Rob Schraub is nothing if not a showman. Rob Schraub gathering up our character sheets. Gonna hand Dan's character sheets.
And just a side note, if you want to join the D&DSA, you can roll your character sheet. We're using standard point by arrays. And
oh, man. I have
psionic classes are off the table.
I have an exciting thing to talk to you about role-playing-wise.
Uh-huh.
So this guy who I talked to for, I guess, probably a hot Adderall vodka-induced hour and a half or so following one of our shows.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just talking to him about that Blacksburg Technical Research Center game, Space-Time and Time Lords. Remember I babbled to you about that, like this role-playing game that I... Anyways, he...
Where you're playing yourself?
He... Yes.
Okay.
Where you play yourself.
So this is a system where you approximate your own real-life attributes.
Is Rob going to play Steve? Is Rob playing Diarrhea Junior?
I mean, he'll do whatever he wants, regardless of what anyone attempts or desires.
He certainly is doing it right now. If you haven't paid $5 a month for our subscription, you're missing out on one of life's great treasures.
This has mostly been a non-visual show, but these couple of minutes are certainly a phenomenon unto itself. I'm really worried he's going to hurt himself. Like, he's just going to roll off the stage.
I hope that happens.
It could be like one. Right. That's the thing about a rolling chair on a platform. Like, one wheel goes off the edge, and I don't care if you're Jackie Chan, you're dead. But why err on the side of that, you know?
All right.
Let's have fun. We're all going to die.
So, Spencer, Rob, are you going to play the role of Steve Levy as
Diarrhea? Yeah, what do you want to do, Rob?
Sure.
Or do you want to be an NPC? What do you want to be?
What?
A non-player character.
NPC.
I'll be a non-player character because... I'd like to
Were you
that.
Disappointed you came to the you come to the show and then there's a guy it's like I'm talking politics and you're like, oh, I'm not gonna come anymore.
What are you talking about?
Oh, I'm just like sharing my insecurities.
Yeah,
like,
we want to know what you're feeling.
I like it when you show up. I'm sorry.
I don't know. I had a rough couple of days.
Oh, wait. What do you mean? Why? What?
Yeah, let's talk about that.
I'll tell you about it later. But I'm fine now.
Is it Lolly sick?
No.
Is Kate sick?
No.
Wait, what's going on?
It's not for the stage.
Oh, okay.
It could be.
What?
Let's act it out.
Okay.
It's your boss.
I'm really out of breath from doing all that leg.
I was out of breath from dancing, and then I had to start rapping, and I was like, man, I can't even fucking breathe. It's a bummer.
Yeah.
What a life.
This mic is... quieter than the others?
Well, it's because that's when normal. You... But the genius thing is that the
oh, because the, it's me?
Well, no, the streamers, it's like we're... It's unmistakably a live performance. But then when you listen to it, and I have, like, and this goes to Zach and Chris, like, I mean, they're walking a fucking crazy tightrope. They're recording streaming live audio that when you listen back to it, it sounds like a real podcast episode. Like, it's not compromised by the fact that we're doing it in a warehouse. But I think as performers, we benefit from visually from being in this space as opposed to the
audio booth. Thank you for bringing that up so I could give props to our amazing engineers.
I have a little bit of a business housekeeping question.
Okay.
Who farted?
I don't know.
It really smells.
When?
It really smells like a fart.
Oh, recently.
Do you think it was Josh Andrewski from the DSA? Your girlfriend?
That was a long time ago. I'm going to blame
this is
wrong.
A present fart.
No, it wasn't me because minute you started going,
somebody farted.
I'd like to ask a question. I almost said, who?
Oh, well, it had to be Josh then, because I didn't smell anything, so it had to be Josh.
Smells like
it's either
beef.
Jeff and an incredible werewolf game.
I feel like it's
got to
be Jeff.
I would either not bring it up, or I would say, sorry, everybody, I farted all over.
Using my werewolf skills that always get me taken out within the third round, I think Jeff did it.
I didn't do it, I swear to God.
I'm not accusing you of doing it, saying that that's...
I have some even more old world rules than that. Whoever smelt it. Dealt it, I believe.
And whoever denied it supplied it, if I'm not mistaken.
Guys, somebody farted on me. Somebody farted on me, and I thought we all needed to address that.
No, we should, but I'm just thinking about the options. And in my head, it's got to be one of you two.
Well, it's certainly Rob.
Well, if it was me, it'd be really obvious.
Well, that's
because
you were rolling around crop dusting.
Yeah, I didn't. I swear to God.
I know. That's why it's too obvious to be you. That's why I think it must be Jeff.
If I farted all over the stage, I would be the first to say, sorry, everybody. I sneak attack.
I don't know if it's a fart because it keeps on rolling. Because like as
it could be like a Burbank thing.
Yeah, I mean, as you've been talking, it's been kind of like wafting through here a couple times.
It's been wafting and roiling through the fucking stage.
Just like Schraub was rolling around the stage.
Yeah, but I didn't.
They start making the farts at Burbank early shift.
That might be it.
So that you can get your fresh Burbank farts.
I swear to God, it was
6 a.m.
I'm not blaming anybody. I just felt like somebody farted on my head.
Do you remember the tannery? I was just in Milwaukee.
Yeah. God. Milwaukee smells.
Oh, how was the college talk?
My art school talk was great, life changing.
Did you like
amazing.
Dan's intro? Did you use it?
Yes, I did. Everybody applaud.
The full edit?
No,
this is a nice one.
He's the
nice
only
one.
Non-rapping the one.
Yeah. Well, that's, I mean, we assumed that would happen.
Failure. The raps
right?
were a failure.
They weren't a failure. They were just a different take.
Did you use the rap where he rhymed bukkake?
No.
No.
Okay.
He didn't use any
none
of the raps.
None of the raps.
He used the verbal one.
The verbal one.
This guy is going to swivel in a chair and tell me he didn't fart on me.
I did not fart on
see,
you.
Don't seems like he's guilty.
If I farted on you, you would know because I'd be going, I don't know what you're talking about.
$5
in Florida, as if they didn't have enough troubles. Sometimes their tap water is just smells like a fart. Like outside my hotel, I was like, "What's that fart smell?" And then my parents would be like, "Well, that's just Tide. You know, Tide comes in, goes out. When it goes out, it leaves dead stuff." Milwaukee, we're no stranger to that. The dead alewives there—they smell like rotting fish.
The tannery,
but. The tap water, like I was brushing my teeth one morning and then I brush my teeth and then I go in and I cup and I slurp my rinsing water out of the tap.
What?
Is this like the standing wiper thing? I'm going to find out I do the
brush
my teeth.
We have 10 minutes to play D&D. Right. So Spencer, you want to catch us up?
Yeah. Honestly, what happened, you guys? Dan, do you remember anything that happened?
I remember fighting zombies as we just got to the town of Embershot.
Yeah, I think what happened is you were just on the cusp of the town of Embershot, whose name will be revealed. great.
I remember we fought the zombies.
Yeah, sorry,
and
listening audience.
We were successful in fighting them in the sense that they either ran away or... were killed.
Yeah. That was all that happened, right? Because you set up that you were outside of the town. Yeah. That's what was confusing is I was like, didn't more happen? And the answer was no. So last time, y'all found some zombies. There was music coming from a harp, and it kind of made the zombies bummed out. It was bumming. There was music bumming out the zombies and skeletons in a graveyard. And Diarrhea Jr. went to investigate the sound that was the music sound. And when he did, there was a burst of ruby light. And then the music stopped. And as if on cue, the zombies stopped being all bummed out and started, well, just being, you know, generally mindless zombies trying to end all life as we know it. And you guys, as clerics and members of the church militant, fought them and killed them. That was it, yeah. Combat takes a long time.
Yeah.
All right, so where are we standing right now?
You're outside of the graveyard. You're standing over the white ashes of the skeleton that you cut down with your flame blade spell.
All right.
That was...
fucking flame blade.
Yeah, that was what Chad did. So, zombies, no more music, no more zombies.
Well,
nighttime.
Looks like we got here either just in time or... And I take off my mime glasses. Or too late. Yow!
Yeah.
Won't get fooled again!
Well, we got here in time to kill a bunch of fucking zombies.
Yeah, but why are they running rampant? Where'd that music come from? I mean, who knows? This could be... Let's head into town.
You know from your knowledge of religion. Yeah, that's for you.
Is it? Yeah,
you can ask real questions.
You're playing Levy's character, right?
Yeah. What are you?
Well, that's not what we said before the music started.
Well,
so
we can clear up anything you want. No. I'm here to help and answer questions.
You gotta eat that mic, bro.
This is not for everyone to hear.
You gotta eat that mic, bro.
Eat my fucking mic, Jeff. All right, I'm eating the mic.
What was your question?
You asked me earlier, mm-hmm. would I like to be Steve Levy's character or a new character?
Right.
And I said, I'd be a new game character, whatever.
You really gave him that option?
No, I don't think that's
no one gave you that option.
Okay. I don't want to argue.
All right. Nobody remembered having that conversation.
No one offered to make a new character for you.
Okay, whatever. We're doing this.
We got 7 minutes.
All right. Okay. So everybody just stand back. I'm going to. Okay.
Shit. Okay.
What's this? I start kicking the bones that are in front of me. I start kicking it. I go, look at this. What a mess. Look at the mess you made here. This is great.
Yeah.
Terrific.
I'm going to.
Now what are we going to do?
I'm going to play this.
What are we doing?
One of those war movie things where it's like a PTSD thing and I'm like going to cradle him and go, shh.
No.
Hey.
No,
listen
no.
to me, man. You got to look at me. This world is magical. A lot of that magic is dark.
They're dead.
All right.
Man.
I've been through pain. I was raised by pain. We all met through a church. That church ain't perfect. We're here to clean up this town. Can't even remember why the fuck we're here.
That's a great question to ask.
Who
I can
said
answer that?
That?
It was because of the... We're on the quest of Patchen's
Jewel. The quest of Patchen's Gem.
a third-party Linux quest that wasn't approved of.
Well, it was approved of. Well, yeah.
It's an open-source quest.
Yeah, I don't want to get into the minutiae. It's very complicated.
We're on the quest of Patchen's...
The quest for Patchen's Gem.
Patchen's Gem.
Yeah. Patchen's, who was your good friend and helped you out in Roan, he got robbed.
Yeah.
In part because you guys let him get stabbed a bunch.
And we feel guilty about that, so we're going to go get this gem.
We're going to get the gem
do
back.
Did we have to kill some zombies along the way?
Yes.
We fucking did.
Yes.
So now it's time to put the pedal to the mother.
I'm going.
Metal.
You guys are. I'm going to start looking. I'm walking.
He's walking away. Walking towards the.
I'll figure it out. I'll find it.
I feel so bad about this, but I don't remember if Patchen's is with us.
Patchen's is here. Yeah, okay. He didn't. He was kind of quiet in that last
fight. But guys, here's
the
thing. Patchen's has been overtly critical of our ability to help him in the past,
we've proven him right.
I feel like you put me in a position where honesty implies brutal criticality.
Yeah,
I wanted to be in those situations.
I'm saying to my party members, I'm going, guys, if the goal is to make Patchen's...
What? I think our goal is let's keep it simple. Let's help Patchen's out. Let's do one thing right.
What?
Patchen's.
I have an idea.
Okay.
Here's the thing. We just got to a new town. Yeah. There's no direct linear mission. And I think what we should do is the only people that have seen us together are zombies. They're dead. They've fled.
We killed them.
We should do that thing, like in the beginning of the third, the Return of the Jedi.
Right.
Okay? We show up one by one in this town.
wait for everybody to take a nap.
Let's not get sidetracked by our critical grievances with that movie. But I'm just saying, like, their strategy was just like, we don't come in together. We don't go, hey, we're the Rebel Alliance. We're here to free Han Solo.
All right, right.
Like, we just show up in different guises.
Just
different,
disguising this
part. And we don't acknowledge, the only rule is we just don't acknowledge that we know each other.
The one rule is that we don't acknowledge that we know each other.
We don't acknowledge that we know each other.
Until it's time.
Time to
make shit
happen.
Hey, I came back.
Oh, boy.
Oh. Right. Hi. He was off mic.
Hi. So we're going to go into town. Let's give 10-minute waits between each of us entering town.
I'll go first.
Okay.
Okay, good. Diarrhea, you go in first.
I'll go first.
Bye. Just you don't know us.
Hold my hands up.
You don't know us.
No, blend in.
Okay.
And all you're going to do is just, you don't have an agenda. You're not on any kind of case.
Should I go to a store?
Sure. You could go to the saloon. You could go to the thing.
I'll go to the saloon store.
Just try to ingratiate yourself with locals.
Yeah.
All right. The sun begins to rise as you see the outer wall of Dornester.
I'll take a beer.
That's the name of the town. The outer wall. The wall is thick and only about 10 feet high, but it's like it's mostly like a big pile of like lumber and dirt and stuff. It's kind of like a beaver dam. It's just kind of like a big mess of a big thick wall kind of surrounding the city. It has a bit of bracing structure and kind of like a bit on top that you walk on that's more flat, but it's just kind of like a giant barricade surrounding the whole town. You're in front of the gate, and there's two guards. Well, they seem like they're guards, but they're not wearing uniforms or anything. And they're sitting on top of the gate. You look at them, and you can tell they're sleeping. They're sleeping on the job in the morning.
Hey! Hey!
They slowly wake up as if out of a stupor, and they're squinting in the sunlight and looking around. They spot you.
Hey, can I get in?
What's your business here?
I need to there's some stuff in there I have to get. Just open the door. I gotta go.
You don't look like you're from around here. Why should we let you in?
Yeah, it doesn't matter. Just open the door. I forgot my thing.
You forgot your thing?
I forgot my what is the thing? I don't know what they're called. You put it around your shirt. You put it around your shirt. Just can you open it? I'm in a hurry here.
Right, yeah.
I'm
no
sorry
problem.
To wake you up. Next to the door handle, but can you open it up so I can get my... it's really early. Just we open up the door.
Yeah, no, I get it. Sometimes you forget your thing.
Thank you.
Open the door.
Thank you. Thank you.
You can see as you're walking in, they're kind of falling back asleep.
That's how you
He got in?
Yeah, he got in.
All right.
But we don't know this. You know, we didn't observe his techniques.
You didn't know he rolled a 20.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
A 20 what? 20? Mm-hmm.
A 20 lying.
A 20 of fucking pulling some
shit. I'm going to use that.
All right. So, and now my plan was like, we just go individually because it's like, we want to cast a wide net because I feel like our mission is infiltration. I mean,
I walk up 10 minutes later. I walk up to the guards and I go, hey, could you guys let me in?
They wake up. You look like you're like a knight or something. What do you got? What are you doing?
No, I'm just a, my friend just came through here. I'm his assistant. He left his, ID. And I want to make sure he has his stuff. I'm not even staying. I just want to make sure he has his thing.
The guards fall asleep while you're talking.
All right. So I walk through.
It's a closed door, though.
All right. How tall is the door?
It's 10 feet high. It looks very easy to scale.
I scale the door.
All right. All right. Yeah. It's very easy to sneak past the sleeping guards. It's about like 9 in the morning, and they're still sleeping. You don't know. They seem like they might have slept through the night shift.
I walk back. I scale back over the door and just call Carlos and say, like, "Hey, it's easy."
We're not supposed to.
You're blowing your cover.
I get back inside.
All right.
Now I approach the gates.
The guards are sleeping.
Hear ye!
They wake up with a start and they grab their spears and they're like holding their spears like, hey, get it, fuck off. What are you doing?
I request entry to Dornaster on a diplomatic and religious mission for the Church of the Silver Flame.
The door fee is 3 copper.
I wonder if the church approves that fee, or should it go into your local fund?
I don't know what you're talking
Nevertheless,
about.
I shall pay it.
All right. One of the guards falls asleep, and the other one, he holds his spear down, and the spear's like holding a bucket that you can put the money into.
Interesting how weapons are adapted to commerce in times of peace.
The guard falls asleep, and the bucket falls on the ground.
Whoa. wake up.
Wait. Check, see if there's, how much money's in that bucket.
Well, it's my...
There's only his money.
It's my money.
Well, take your money back.
Hello?
They wake up, huh?
You're so accustomed to taking bribes, you fell asleep during it.
That sounds right.
Yes, please let me in so I can not report you to the church.
All right, just go away. They open the door.
I pocket my copper.
All right, so
and my integrity.
Hey,
don't.
I'm hiding behind the bushes.
Just the idea was for us to arrive as if we were.
Don't give me away.
Okay, I'm not.
Pretty cool getting in here, yes. Huh?
Yeah.
They were asleep.
Yeah, the idea was.
All right, so we're all inside now.
Yeah,
we're all inside.
But
and it's right. It's 10:03, so let's.
You're clustered near the pig farm.
We're clustered.
And the farm and the various farms.
All right. Hey, guys, good job getting in.
Hey.
I guess my plan didn't work. Now we're all in together. And
yeah. So we're not going to...
However, we're not on record with sleeping guards as coming as a group. That's important.
Yeah.
I think
As far as they're concerned, we were 3 different people.
I think we should still now take advantage of that fact that, like, as far as the record shows, a group of church officials never came to this town, you know?
Right.
So we can now spread out. Because our first thing we need to do is find information.
We need to find patches.
We gotta find information.
We need to figure out what's going on in this town and how a network of brigands.
Why is everybody so tired? A lot of sleeping.
What time of day is it, Spencer?
It's about 9, maybe 10.
Is there a town like bell, like a church, like a tower?
There is a church, but it doesn't have a bell.
All right.
We gotta get these people a bell.
I'm gonna say, like, from this conversation forward, unless peril demands it, we don't acknowledge that we are part of
the same... In search of a...
Passions
bell?
And we also... I'll be an emissary of the church, but you guys have to make up your own backstories.
Okay.
I'm a
down-at-heel gambler. Who's ready for action.
I just like to see you happy. And diarrhea?
I work with the church.
Oh, I you had one job.
Cliffhanger. Wait, what? Wrong song. God.
All right. We'll pick up our
Let's hear it for Spencer Crittenden and Robbie Schraub. Josh Androvsky, what's his website's name? I have it in my text.
It's got to be DSA dot something.
It's called Left Coast, right?
God damn it.
Sounds
we had
right.
One job.
It's a podcast with Jeff Androvsky called Left Coast. Spencer Crittenden, your game master. I'm Jeff Davis, your comptroller. I'm way too tired to name everybody here, but let's hear it for Church. Church, our guest. Chris Boroff, Terry Hill, who else is out there? Zach McKeever, other people. Nolan Fabricus. Oh, Church is doing a dance with Rob Schraub.
Robot my name is dance. Podcast Man.
Robot
I
dance.
Just distributed
robot
my dance. Podcast. I did it without the FCC's permission, but you allowed for a government takeover of the internet, so this might be over. In the future, you won't be able to get to this site because...
Let's hear it for your mayor, Dan Harmon, number one. Let's hear it for Rob Schraub in the Zardoz chair.
No, Davros. I meant Davros. Or Zardoz. Rob, what if Zardoz became Davros? How would that go? And your church is where the merch is. Cassandra Church takes those photos that you like so much. So, Dan, you want to do a little rap?
Yo. 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 Ending rap. End of the show. Go out and grow, tree to tree, limb to limb, put your roots in the ground, and look at me. I'm a blue sky, and I'm your father. Don't look at your mother, don't bother. She's an impersonal cosmic force, and I fucked her, of course. But not in a disrespectful way. I was honored.
Hey, Spencer, let's get together and do the dance right.
Next week, Balderdash. We'll play a round of Balderdash.